Well, the subject today is Mary, Mary the mother of Jesus. And it's not Christmas, but it's still good to look at Mary. And I've entitled this talk, what I call a motto of Mary. And it's something that she said at the wedding of Cana, when the wine ran out. Do you remember? Yeah. She said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. That's Hallelujah. My title for today. Whatever he says to you, Amen. Just do it. Yeah. Sounds simple. So, who was Mary? Abby. Well, how old are you, Abby? 16. And Mary was young. She was a teenager, it's believed, when she was engaged to Joseph. She was a Jewess. She'd have brown hair and brown eyes. Maybe a big nose. And she was of the line of David, the seed of David. She lived in Galilee. And she was a busy girl. Okay, thanks, Abby. So when you think of Mary, just think about how young she was. Now, what was her nature like? Well, if you read the life of Mary, you'll see that her nature was loving and compassionate. She cared about people. She was pure. She had not had sex with anybody. She might have been a bit older than 16, but she had not slept with a man. She'd saved herself. She was engaged, and she was pure, and she loved God. That was the most important thing. She loved God with all her heart. Now, she knew her Old Testament. Remember, she hadn't got the New, because that was written after Mary. She knew and read her Old Testament really well. Oh, how do we know that? Because she mentions Abraham and the promises to Abraham, the promises to David. How does this young girl know about them unless she's read them and believed them and loved God because of them? And she also knew all about the story of Hannah, who was barren and couldn't have children, and the miracle that happened to Hannah. Little Samuel was born and gave him back. And Mary loved that story. She knew the song of Hannah, that Hannah sang. And also, Mary knew about the law. And it was her delight to keep the law of the Old Testament, Moses' laws. And we see that when Jesus was born, on day 8... can't count my fingers. She had baby Jesus circumcised, like the law said. And she didn't go up to the temple because she was, as the law said, unclean and was bleeding, and so had to go through purification and kept away from the temple for 33 days. Probably needed the rest anyway. And then on day 33, what does she have to do? Oh, bring a lamb. So she brought a lamb. And if she couldn't afford a lamb, she brought two little turtle doves. And she kept the law all the way through. It was her delight, I believe. Now, you know, I've written in between my New and Old Testament, probably can't find it quickly.
I might be able to. Yes. 400 years silence from God. The Jews had gone away from God and left him. And I believe that during that time, God was very sad. But he had a plan, didn't he? He had a plan. And one day he said to Gabriel, "It's time. Today is the day that it's all going to change. Today is the day I'm going to save the world. My church, my true church is going to begin. Gabriel, I want you to go." And Gabriel goes to Galilee. And Mary's in the house. And the light shines. And Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid. You are highly favored. You are special to God. You are loved," he says. "You are blessed. You're highly favored." And why me? What's going on? Well, you're going to conceive in your womb and have a baby boy. The Son of God. Wow. And she knew her Old Testament. She knew a Messiah was coming. Highly favored, blessed, and chosen. Actually, just like you, just like me. And what was Mary's response? She said, well, she didn't argue like Moses. Moses said, "Oh, don't choose me, God does, send him." No, she didn't say that. She did ask, how? Well, which isn't surprising, is it? You're 16 and only engaged. How's it going to happen? And Gabriel says, good question. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The power of God's going to come upon you. That which will be born in you will be of the Holy Spirit and will be the Holy Chosen One, the Son of God. Slowly he built up the picture. And just in case she had any doubt, the angel said, well, you know Elizabeth, your sister-in-law, I think she was. Well, she's 6 months pregnant and she was barren. And it's the Holy Spirit that's come to Elizabeth. She was carrying John the Baptist. So, and then the angel said, all things, nothing is impossible with God, said the angel, just in case she's. But I think she believes straight away. I really do as I read it. Because she said, look at me, angel, behold, I am the maid servant of the Lord. I'll be God's servant. And she said, yes, I'll do it. Amen, she said, to what you, Gabriel, have told me. Wow, what a teenager. Do we know any teenagers like that?
Yep.
You don't have to wait till you're 30, 40, 50, 60, or dead. Let's look at Mary's response. I'm going to read to you. She sang a song because she was full of the Holy Spirit. From that moment, she just praised God. Has that happened to you when you've got filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. And this is what she sang. The song of Mary. Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. He's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. The next bit. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And he's put down the mighty from their thrones. And he's exalted the lowly, Mary. He's filled the hungry, Mary, with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then she went home. You see, she was so excited about this miracle inside her. She needed some sweet fellowship, and she ran off to Elizabeth. And you can imagine the discussions and things they shared together, both of them pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Nowhere else did Mary find that comfort, that fellowship. Everywhere else, she felt the pointing finger. What have you been up to? Call yourself a child of God? Huh, we know what you've been doing. Rumours, rejection, hatred. Even Joseph was afraid that the baby was a man, some of the man's, until a dream came and God told him it's okay, it's the Holy Spirit. Now I want to affirm you, the congregation, because you know, just like Mary, you, everyone, are highly favoured. She's not a goddess. She's not up there. She's not to be worshipped. She's the same as you and me. And you are highly favoured. That's what God's told me to tell you. Amen. You, each one, the men as well, you're all Marys. You're chosen. You are chosen by God from before you were born. God planned you. And you fill him with delight. He loves you deeply like he loved Mary. And you might say, yes, but I'm not pure like Mary. Well, actually, you are. If you love Jesus, you are pure. Why else did he die on the cross? His blood cleansed us from all sin and made us righteous. Mary was a toughie, I've decided. You know, there she is. Can't remember what I was going to say. She has to stand up to all this rejection, all this doubt and hatred. And then when she's 8 or 9 months pregnant, she's got to get on a donkey and go on a rough road, all because Caesar Augustus says everyone's got to go and have their name written down where they were born. Did she argue? No. You see, Mary was very obedient. That was her main thing, obedience. So she climbs on this donkey with a fat tummy and off she goes on this road. And then there's the rejection when they get to Bethlehem. Sorry, no room, full up, go away. She's a toughie, they don't give up. Stable, okay, that'll do. Straw, that'll do. Smelly poo, neighing donkeys, that'll do. She was a toughie. No midwife, nobody there to look after her, only Joseph. But the starlight shone through the slats and reminded her of the promise, reminded her of who she was going to bring forth, the Messiah, reminded her of Gabriel's word. In that stable, did she have privacy? Wouldn't you want privacy when you've just given birth to a baby and there's blood everywhere? You're tired? No privacy for Mary, the toughie. No, in came strangers. She didn't say, go away, I'm not ready. I've done that sometimes. And then in came some more strangers later on, dressed up in their refinery. And one of them, wise men, gave her a bottle of myrrh. A bottle or a bag of myrrh. What was myrrh? It was a spice. Sticky like glue, it says, but very sweet smelling. Now she could understand the gold and the frankincense, but myrrh was for embalming the dead. Oh dear. Did she wonder what it was all about? When would she need that? Well, the next thing she had to put up with, now she's gone home, back to Galilee, and she hears that Herod is after baby Jesus, the king of the Jews. And he's going to send out his soldiers to slaughter all the babies, two and under. Tuffy Mary obeys Joseph. He's had another dream. Come on, Mary, we've got to flee. We're going to be refugees and we've got to go to Egypt. Otherwise, Jesus will get killed. No arguments. Very compliant. And off she goes. And I'm not sure how long for there in Egypt. But a strange land for her. It didn't stop her going. Whatever he says to you, do it. Ringing. Now we've got a song. It's a beautiful song. I'm going to play it. It's called Whatever He Says to You, Do It. But I want you to shut your eyes and really take in the words. Okay? Thanks, Mike. beautiful song from the witness. And I'm sure you have done lots of things that Jesus has told you to. And it would be great to just share those stories, wouldn't it, of what happened. Did the water turn to wine? Did the blind see? Did your friend get better? Can you relate then to Mary's experiences? Rejection. Not wanted. Suspected of wrong things. Has that happened in your life? Because you've carried Jesus in you as a Christian, are you unwanted? Have you lost friends? What about that rocky road that she went on? Has your path following Jesus been a really rocky, dangerous road? But you've continued anyway. Have you found sweet fellowship with Christians like Mary when she ran off to Elizabeth? What about Herod's slaughter? He hated Jesus, who was out to kill them. Does someone hate you that much that they'd even want you exterminated off the planet? That's happened to me. I'm sure it must have happened to other people here. Are you unwelcome in certain places because Jesus is in you? Has God's path led you to an uncomfortable place, like the stable? The last place on earth you expected? Maybe your job? Maybe a friendship? And it's just not what you thought, not what you'd hoped for. But deep down, you know that this humble place is where God actually did take you, or has. Maybe it's a workplace. Maybe it's where you live. And what about those pangs that Mary had? Those pains to birth Jesus. Have you had and have pangs in you to see Jesus birthed? Birthed in more in your life? Birthed in your friends, neighbours, family? Do you long to see Jesus? Do you long for his return? Do you long to hold him? Mary had prophecies when she went to the temple. Simeon said, a sword will one day pierce your heart, Mary. What a hard prophecy. There were good ones, but she never forgot that one. She pondered it in her heart. Have you got prophecies that have not unfolded yet? And you think, when are they going to happen? And I'm not sure I want that one to happen. She had prophecies unfolded. Maybe you're carrying the myrrh. Some of us here have got a feeling like a dark cloud at the moment going with you. Maybe you have been given a forecast that it's the end nearly. And like Mary stood at that cross, she was faithful to the very end. She never deserted her son. She could have been arrested that day or beaten, dragged away. But she was that toughie. And she stayed there. She followed him. And there she was at the foot of the cross. She saw the pain of the cross. She saw the crown of thorns And I know that you all here have felt the pain of Jesus, especially when we take the bread and wine. And she knew the story of Abraham and Isaac. And when Abraham took that knife to obey God and kill Isaac, Abraham was let off. Isaac was let off at the last minute. Did Mary think, well, maybe my son will be let off at the last minute. Maybe he'll come down from the cross. Did she think that could happen? But then she saw the sword go in his side. Then she heard him say, cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? She knew there was no last minute rescue. He was a Messiah. But let's remember, she was there with Mary Magdalene. They went to the tomb. She knew it was time to take the myrrh. She was ready to go and embalm, to take some more spices. But then she met the risen Jesus. Oh, what joy. Oh, what joy filled her heart. You've experienced that, haven't you? When we sing the songs of resurrection, when we have the Easter service, and Mary experienced the risen Son of God, her Son, resurrection life, she experienced it. She knew it was going to be for her as well, for you, for me. And I expect you've had your own Magnificat, they call it, song of praise. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit, did you find that you couldn't help but praise God sometimes for hours? Derek Prince was in his bunk bed all night praising God, couldn't stop, and all the other soldiers, yeah? Shut up, will you? We can't sleep. I'm sure you've had your own Magnificat of praise. So Mary lived out obedience right to the very end. And you know, she even obeyed Jesus. He said to the disciples before he went up to heaven, I'm not going to leave you bereft. I want you to wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait there. I'm going to send another comforter. She obeyed. She was in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. 40 days later, Mary was filled again with the Holy Spirit, with a power to go out. And she talked about the glorious things that God had done in different languages with all her friends. She obeyed. She waited. So, whatever he says to you, do it. And the water will turn into wine. Have you done the last thing he said to you? I heard a preacher say, if you haven't done the last thing he said to you, yes, he's not going to tell you the next thing to do. He's waiting for your obedience. I think I believe in that. So let's work on that last thing, shall we?
Amen.
And is he saying to anybody here today, is he saying to you, today, accept me, the pierced one, as your saviour? Because if he is, we can all recommend to you that you do. Just do it. Just do it. And the water in your life will turn to wine. And maybe John could lead a prayer for anyone that's in that position.